You guys are sponsors too.
The time is 3:07 p.m. I call to order the special meeting of the President Governance Committee of the Emeryville City Council. It's being held at Emeryville City Hall in the Garden Level Conference Room at 13 Clark Avenue. Madam Secretary, the roll, please. Worth of having, sorry.
Member Clark?
Present.
Chair Welch?
Here. Item three is public comment. I know we did receive several public comment items from members of the community that were applying for different advisory board appointments, and then those have been noted and in the record, so there's no need to reread those, but those we do acknowledge those. Is there anybody here, any member of the public that would like to make public comment at this time? No? Okay. Public comment is now closed. Item four is approval of the February 3rd, 2026 regular meeting action minutes.
I move approval.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I will second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Item 5.1 advisory board appointment recommendations for budget advisory committee, the EDAC, housing committee, and public arts committee.
Right, thank you. That's my item. I am a foreign city clerk. For me, if the Sharon member will remember, in September of last year, the council approved a change to our advisory body appointments. They'll now be made at the committee level. The budget advisory committee was assigned as a budget advisory, economic development, housing committee, and public art committee were all assigned to be made at the budget governance committee. Today we'll go through the applications, and you guys will present the recommendations that will go to council on June 16th for the full council to appoint applicants to the advisory bodies. The annual advisory body recruitment opened March 20th and ran through May 1st. We ran it an extra week because we didn't receive sufficient applications. We received quite a few, and we're going to go through those today. If it's all right, I'd like to go through the committees one at a time. We have attachment B in front of you, which lists the positions that are available and the applicants for each of the committees. We'll start with the budget advisory committee. There are three vacancies on that committee, and there were six applicants. Based on the composition of the committee and the positions that are already filled, you'll need to appoint one business representative and two residents. So if you look at attachment B, what that means is that Samuel Feldman and Dave Kritzberg, either one of those could be appointed for the one business representative position that's available. And then all of the applicants are available to fill the two resident positions that are available. So I'll turn it back over to the committee if you have any questions about the applicants or the positions that are to be filled.
Madam Mayor, did you have any questions?
Nope.
I do not. There are, I know, some of the members of the public that applied. I do want to invite anyone who would like to speak, address the committee at this time. You are free to do so.
Is there anybody here who's a new applicant to the committee? I'd like to give them the pleasure of going first.
Are there any new applicants for the Budget and Governance Committee?
I am.
Awesome. And you as well?
Yes.
Would you, either of you, like to address the committee? I guess we can turn around.
Yes. Yeah, we should be sitting over there.
We can put him in front of the screen. We won't want to stand up there. Yeah.
That's the first requirement.
Hi, my name is Erica Vasquez. I've lived in Emeryville my entire life, 34 years. I currently work for the city of Oakland, worked for them for about I'm on my 25th year. So I've been in finance ever since. Started in purchasing, so I'm very well aware of contracts, of finances. I worked for the police department, fiscal services, for 13 years. There, I started as the account clerk. I did account receivables. I managed the accounts payables, worked with all the executive staff on their budget, managed their maybe about $50 million worth of grants. From there, I went to Public Works, where I'm at now, started in facilities, and now in equipment services, where I also do a lot of contracts, and I handle our $16 million budget for us. And it would be a great pleasure to be able to kind of, you know, combine what I've learned with another city to where the city that I've always like lived, you know, like my whole life, I felt like I've been in Oakland and I'd like to give back a little more to the community where I actually live and where actually, where my mother lives too. And I have a 16-year-old son and I'd like to lead by example.
Thank you, Ms. Vasquez.
Do you guys have any other questions that you guys?
Madam Mayor, do you have any questions?
I don't have any questions now, but we can maybe ask all of the people that have had a chance to speak.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you for applying. Would any other applicants like to come and share their experience or make address the committee at this time? No?
He's applying for the art.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Dave? Dave.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm Dave Pittsburgh. I've been serving on this committee for, I think, 3 or 4 years. And I'm also on the Economic Development Committee. In the past, the Bike Ped Committee and ECDC when my daughter went there. I live and work in Emeryville, and I have a small business. And in my former life, I was an economics professor. So that was kind of like my, the angle I try to bring to serving on the Economic Development and Budget Committees is just sort of taking the that kind of economic mindset. But, and then I also do in my business, financial analytics, and business analytics, reporting, and data engineering for healthcare. And I've been living in Emeryville since 2010. And I have a 14-year-old daughter here. And I just enjoy serving the city. I run a bike to wherever day station last week. I've been doing that for about 10 years. And I'm happy to serve in any capacity, continue on as the budget advisory committee if you choose me. But otherwise, I'll serve in other ways. So, thanks. And no questions later.
Well, it's nice to see everyone who I know pretty well. So, for those of you who don't know me, I'm Fran Coutel, and I serve on two committees. One is the Budget Advisory Committee. I've probably served for 10 years. And I also serve on the Economic Development Committee. My claim to fame, my lifelong achievement, is that I spearheaded a grassroots effort that added an amendment to the Dodd-Frank Financial Reform Bill. I restored $270 million to 9,500 bank depositors pro bono, working from my kitchen, which is about the size of this one of these tables. I think the most important thing for the city right now happens to be financial stability and not using up the reserve funds that you so carefully put aside. And I think Sharon and Renee and Mary Lou, Sukdeep, Courtney all know that that's really my mantra. I like to see financial stability, and I like to see Emeryville do things in its quirky way that reaches out to people and makes all kinds of people and all kinds of businesses feel welcome in our community. That's all I have to say for now.
Thank you, Fran.
Anyone else for the budget advisory committee? No? So are we doing this all at the end, or are we moving through?
I think it makes the most sense for you to go committee by committee since you have so many applicants. So if you want to do the budget advisory now, again, you need to appoint one business rep and two residents. Those are the only positions that are available.
Okay.
So if, again, looking at the chart, Samuel Feldman and Dave Pittsburgh fit the business rep position, and then all the applicants fit the resident positions.
Well, Madam Mayor, did you have any additional comments or questions before I call for public comment?
No, I don't.
All right. Time is now for public comment on this item. Any member of the public wishing to make public comment on this item can do so now. Okay. Public comment is now closed. Well, we are very lucky to have such a very well-skilled, I think, and experienced having such a very well-skilled applicant pool. Of course, our budget is very important to the health and wellness of our city. It's how we make sure that we remain well-run and well-serviced, and that we are doing what we can to give the highest quality of life to our residents and people who come and work here in Emeryville and come to visit. David, I really like your experience as well as yours, Erica, having someone who's been here in Emeryville for their entire life and is raising a family and has a family here with them and has that depth of experience of the city. And then even with one of our neighbors, which is my hometown, and so power to you trekking through Oakland respectfully for 25 years. Congratulations for that. And having that municipal budgeting experience, I think it's something that I feel like we could truly benefit with, seeing as how our budget is extremely important to us. So for my three selections, I would like to choose David, Erica, and Fran to move forward as the applicants. And I would love to hear your thoughts as well, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate all of the people who have applied. Thank you, David, and Erica, and Fran for wanting to serve. I appreciate your being here, which shows that you're very capable and concerned about the budget. So I second your selection, Madam Chair, and maybe we can take a vote for that.
Madam Clerk, do we do this individually by budget or?
Yes, I would suggest you do it that way.
Okay. All those in favor selecting David, Fran, and Erica to serve on the Budget Advisory Committee for business rep and our two resident representatives?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you, the three of you, for continuing to serve the city of Emeryville.
Congratulations.
And welcome back. Next up, we have the EDAC Committee. And I...
So this one's exciting. It's a little bit more complicated. EDAC has very specific committee composition. So even though there are six vacancies with six applicants, you will not be able to fill them up because we didn't have applicants who qualify in the positions that are available. And I'll go through what they are. We actually had seven applicants. One applicant withdrew. Her application was included in the packet, and I'm sorry if that was a little bit confusing. We didn't receive any applications for the nonprofit workforce, and that is a designated position in the committee composition. So we will not be able to fill that one. We need one business representative of any size, one large business or business representative, one resident, and two small business representatives. What this means is that There is only one resident position available for three people that applied and only qualify in the resident position. And I'm not counting Scott Donahue because he actually, I took him out because he has two areas that he qualifies in. He qualifies under a large business rep, a small business rep, or a resident. So if we're just looking at the residents, we have Carlin, Calvin, and Fran, who could fill that one resident position. We have Michael Reed, who is the only one that could fill the large business representative position. And then the two small business positions, or the business representative position, they are a slash, would be Mary Lou or Scott Donahue. So you will only be able to fill one, two, three, four positions today of the six vacancies that are there. Again, because we didn't have anyone apply for the for the workforce development, and we have we only have one large business representative.
Question.
Yes, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. The nonprofit rep, or what was the other term that you used?
It is called, so if you look at the advisory committee, what it's made up of, it's called one nonprofit workforce development organization representative.
But when Mary Lou, as being CEO of the nonprofit EPC, qualify for that position?
I'm not exactly sure what that designation entails. That's not what she applied under. And then she wouldn't be available for any other it's not going to help fill out our I don't think, our designations.
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
The workforce development has usually been a nonprofit company that helps us with resources for restaurants and small businesses, hiring employees, and they'll train them and all that. So that's kind of the type of representative we've had in the past. And the person that did leave us, his vacancy was going to be filled by someone else from his agency, and she got a job somewhere else, and that's why she had to pull her application. So it's kind of a specific kind of nonprofit.
More like a rising sun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. I understand. Thank you for clarifying that. Okay. Well, with that being said, is there anyone here from the EDAC that would like to, or for the EDAC, that would like to speak regarding their application? Fran, I invite you. Would you?
Yeah, no. Is there anybody else who's here for that committee? Are you going to speak?
I will. Yeah.
So I've been the vice chair of the Economic Development Committee, and I would say that there is a great correspondence between both budget advisory and economic development. It really helps for someone to serve in that dual capacity because they have a very good feeling for what is going on in the city and what is needed in the city. And if those of you remember Bill Reuter, he also had served in that dual capacity. And I would just say that it's a different spin from looking at the numbers. You get to look at the businesses that want to establish themselves here and what they need if they're small. And you also have a very good handle on what businesses need if they are larger. And that is, having served in that on that committee now for 2 years and been the vice chair, that would be the expertise that I would continue to bring. And, you know, we always look for new people to come as well. So one of the recommendations I would make to Courtney and to Sukhdeep is that these vacancies that remain unfilled, maybe those of us who have been involved in these committees can reach out to additional people, especially because of ECC.
Thank you, Fran. Mary Lou?
Hi, I'm Mary Lou Derkosh with Working Images, a PR company, and with the EDAC. I've been on this committee since either 2011 or 2012. and I love it. I just love this. I love the group we have right now, too. It's really a good group, and I look forward to new people coming on. In 2011, the interim city manager at the time appointed me to bring all the businesses together to promote the America's Cup in Emeryville. And we established Emeryville on the Bay at that time. And we were very successful with our campaign and filled up the hotels and the marinas, et cetera. So that's kind of how I got started on this committee. So marketing was always kind of in the back of my mind. And when Chad came on, we really established a great strategy for the Economic Development Committee. And we are implementing it right now. It took years, but here we are. We're in the middle of our marketing campaign for the city of Emeryville. Very exciting. And at the same time, one of the other things that our group did was survey the business community to find out what their needs were, what they wanted to see happen. And I swear the majority of them wanted to meet other businesses and come together. And so we started a group called BizNexus, which was, we just put on events once a quarter. And then everybody wanted them every month because they wanted to be involved with each other. So we I established the Emeryville Commerce Connection that we call the ECC, and we produce events monthly now, and we're growing, and we're going to be producing the very first ever restaurant week in Emeryville. So that's very exciting, and it's our first big program that we're doing. And the city of Emeryville is supporting us on that, and they support us on all our events that we do now at the ECC, and which is really unique to this area, because I go to a lot of chamber of commerce meetings, and you don't get to talk to the mayor, you don't get to talk to Courtney, you know, and you don't get to talk to the chief. So it's very exciting that Emeryville's officials come to our events. But anyway, back to the EDAC. I love connecting people, and I love helping people say what they mean and mean what they say. And that's kind of our group. We challenge each other. We reflect on everything that's going on that comes in front of us. And we really talk about it before we make our decisions. And we've learned to really reflect and concentrate on what the businesses need, what kind of projects will impact the business community, the small businesses versus the larger businesses, and what kind of communication the city needs to do with these businesses in the way that they will understand what's going on. And that's really important to me, the communication. So anyway, I hope to stay on this committee, and I'm the chair. She's been my good vice chair for a long time, but David was my vice chair before. He said no more. Anyway, so thank you very much.
Thank you, Mary Lou. Madam Mayor, do you have any questions for the applicants that are present before I call for public comment?
No.
Wonderful. At this time, I welcome any members to make a comment on the EDAC or the applicants. Nope. Okay. Public comment is closed. Madam Mayor, I invite you to opine on any of your selections thus far.
I would select Fran for the resident. And who else was there for the other resident?
It's just
There's only one resident. Yeah, I think that it's good to have the continuity, and also the fact that she's serving on the Budget Advisory Committee. Appreciate that. And I hope
that you double dipper.
Yeah, on that volunteer work. Thanks. We are lucky. Then I'm glad, Mary Lou, that you're here. And a little bit, it's interesting we have that nonprofit. Workforce development, and it's too bad that could not be filled so we could have everyone in there. But I think that's good that you could at least have some kind of perspective from that side. So I like that. I don't believe anyone else is here other than on that committee. And David, you didn't apply, I noticed, for the EDAC.
No, I don't see them up.
No, he's not. He's a member. He's a serving member. Yes. Okay. He serves through 2027.
Oh, I see. Yes. Okay, I did not see the roster for the serving member. Sorry. Okay. I'm glad that you're a serving member. So, okay. So I know that Scott has always shown up to the meeting.
Yes.
So, and since he's been a former council member and mayor, I think that it's worth having someone of that caliber on that committee, as well as the fact that he has a small business too. So that would help. Michael Reed is not here, but if anyone can share the attendance record or their feeling about how they would like the composition of the committee to be with him.
He's a large business, okay. And he's been an asset for us for the whole hospitality businesses in Emeryville. It's good for us to have someone from hospitality on our committee.
Do you want to say his position? His what he does?
Oh, he's the general manager of the Hyatt House, and he just hosted our last event.
Okay.
The BCC.
So I think that I would be fine with having, since he's the only large business rep that could fill that position, that makes sense for him to be there. And then Carlin Dacey is, I don't know who that is, nor Calvin De La Hunty. I believe I recollect that name. I don't know if they're serving on anything.
There's on the Commission on Aging, mm-hmm. and he actually ran for council in 2024.
Oh, I see. That's
They are only eligible to be residents, so if you're choosing Fran as the resident, then those two would not be eligible to serve on the committee.
All right. So those two would not be. Then in that case, can we just go ahead and make a motion to unless.
I'm in complete agreement. I think Scott, Fran, Michael, and Mary Lou all sound like a good fit. Michael fits, the large business rep, which we need. And I agree with Mary Lou as far as having someone in hospitality and having that connection, I think is very important. I appreciate Fran's, overlay of both budget and EDAC, and that's very important as well. And agree, Scott's always shown up and he's very active, as far as being a small business owner. I also think him as an artist and representing the very specific needs of artists and businesses, also very important. So I'd be happy to make a motion to appoint Scott Donahue, Frank Patel, Michael Reed, and Mary Lou Fierkoff to the EDAP for those provided places, availability appointments. There we go.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you. Moving right along to the Housing Committee.
So for Housing Committee, there are 4 vacancies and 6 applicants. If you'll remember, Council approved new designations for a BMR recipient, a homeowner, and a renter to be on the committee. As far as the applicants, we received one from 1 homeowner, from 2 renters, from 2 BMR recipients, and then we also had an application that we carried over from 2025. So they didn't, they applied in the last period when we didn't have those designations. So I don't know what designations they fit. But if you look at attachment B for Housing Committee, the one person that applied in 2025 is right in the middle there. His name is Zachary Logan. He would not be eligible for the 3 designations for BMR, homeowner, and renter, simply because we don't know what designations they fit in.
So only just community member.
That's correct. Okay. Yes. Brian Lee and Ellen Strauss are available for the BMR recipient position. And then the homeowner position would be Tyler Hill. And then renter would be Allison and Tommy Williams. Just so you know, Ellen is an incumbent and currently serving, and she is a BMR recipient and applied under that designation. And then Tyler Hill applied under the homeowner, and he is currently serving on the committee also.
Okay. Madam Mayor, do you have any additional questions?
No. So how many do you need on this committee?
There's four designations or spaces, and then we have six applicants. And so it was just, Madam Clerk, it was Zachary Logan that we're not sure if he falls under any specific designation.
Yes.
So he would only technically be available for community member.
Correct.
If he was going to be
appointed. Yes. Today. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
And you need a rent and a BMR.
We need a homeowner, we need a renter, and we need a BMR recipient. The two serving that have reapplied currently fit those designations. Originally, when they applied, we didn't have the designations, so they didn't fit them, but they've reapplied underneath those designations at this point.
And Madam Clerk, my apologies, can you remind me, below market rate recipient, did we decide that was both individuals that have purchased homes under the below market rate home ownership opportunities as well, or was it only just renters? I forget if that was specific.
I don't think that we specified that, because we have a specified renter and we have a specified homeowner and then a BMR recipient. I don't believe that the designation was specified as a purchaser or a renter for BMR.
Okay.
I'm positive it was not.
Okay. All right. Well, is anyone here who's applied for the housing committee? Hello. Would you like the opportunity to speak?
Sure. Hi, good afternoon. My name is Tyler Hill. I am reapplying for the housing committee, where I currently serve as the vice chair. I am a Watergate resident. I purchased my condo in 2021. My day job, I am an attorney, but right now doing tech lobbying at Instacart and formerly doing the same government affairs work at Google. I've spent the last term really excited about the intersection of housing, tenant advocacy, and then what also affordability looks like for people my age who are interested in not just working in the Bay Area, but also trying to find roots and get connected. I'm originally from Los Angeles, but did my undergraduate here in the Bay Area, my law degree in DC, and just very interested in maintaining not only just the city of Emeryville, but seeing what growth looks like, what opportunities looks like for younger folks here in the city, and then also very curious about what housing in particular looks like for people who are really interested, not just for home ownership, but also for renters, also for what it looks like for the unhoused communities as well. So.
Thank you.
Anyone else here for the housing committee? Nope. Everyone's like, no. Any other questions before I call for public comment? Would any member of the public with us like to make any public comment on this item? No. Okay. Madam Mayor, I would like to give you the floor if you had any thoughts on the applicants thus far.
I think it would be great if we can bring back Tyler Hill, who is here and shows her commitment by being here, as well as the fact that she's serving as the vice chair of the housing committee and is an incumbent. So I think that would be a worthy appointment. And with regard to the rest, I'm not sure why Ellen Strauss could not be here, but because the fact that she has served and continuity would be helpful, I think. So I would see her back, since she has shown commitment by reapplying. With regard to Tommy Williams, I'm not sure if I know anything about Tommy Williams. Zachary Logan would not fit And you need four out of these?
Correct, yes.
So I think for definite for Ellen and Tyler, with regard to the rest, I think Zachary Logan is the only one who does not fit any of the categories, or we don't know if he fits.
Correct, and we don't know.
But he did apply
in 2025.
Yes, and he was still interested in being considered for this strength. We contact them when their applications are older.
Yeah.
And I know I recall he was a newer resident. He moved here last year, and I think that's always important when people move, especially when they're trying to build community. I think one of the best ways to build community and really build investment in your community is to get involved in things like, you know, an advisory board or a club that would help you connect with other residents, especially long-term residents. I had mentioned that he was a veteran as well, and knowing that housing insecurity disproportionately impacts veterans, I think having that point of view on the housing committee would be very important. So I'd be happy to appoint him as a community, one of our community members. But it didn't specify if he was a renter.
I'm trying to look and see if he is.
Because we didn't have those. He can be our general community member.
He's the one for, oh, I see.
Because then we have the renter community member.
So if you went with the selections you have so far, you have Tyler, who is would fill the homeowner position.
Yes.
You have Ellen Strauss, who would be the BMR recipient. And this is these are all / community members. This is assuming you want to fill the special designations. And then you would put Zachary Logan in as a community member.
Yes.
You wouldn't have filled the renter designation. You don't have to, but that would either be, Allison or Tommy Williams filled both the renter designation. You were looking to fill that one.
I think because we have selected two women, I think we can balance it out by selecting Tommy Williams. If you review his application, he works in behavioral health, which is also another position I think would be very helpful to have on the housing committee. That type of background is very important, especially when you think about potentially, as we have our permanent supportive housing and what that looks like, and ongoing support of individuals who have maybe experience chronic homelessness, and how that experience works within the city and different opportunities to support individuals within the behavioral health space.
Sure. So, I also looking at Brian Lee's patient, and I noticed that he is.
He just wouldn't be available for the renter.
He is a BMR recipient.
So we already have someone called BMR.
It would be Ellen.
All right. I think in that case, I'm fine with those. Tyler, Ellen, and you said Tommy Williams as well as
Zachary Logan.
So that's a good balance.
Two men, two women. Nice, broad experience. Two incumbents and two new community members.
The new commitments.
Is that a motion?
Sure, I can.
And I will second.
All right.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And No, Peace the Resistance, the Public Art Committee.
All right, last one. So for the Public Art Committee, there are 4 vacancies, 9 applicants. If you will remember, we added a large art institution representative as a new designation on this committee. The only person that qualifies for that, that applied, is Michael Murphy. Again, you don't have to appoint a person to that that position, but that was a new designation that came up with. And that is a large art representative, a large art institution representative or resident. So we put that slash between it so that if you didn't want to appoint someone who filled the designation, it could also just be filled by any
initiatives. What art organization does Michael Murphy represent?
I don't know.
That's what the
application. Yeah,
I'm
trying to find that.
Vicky, you just wanted to leave. He's a painter, but I didn't know he was a member of an art organization.
The committee like me to look at that application?
Michael Haverty? Is that the person?
That's Michael Murphy. It says.
Oh, yeah.
It says
they're here.
Oh,
you're the art organization?
I didn't think so, but I mean, maybe.
Oh, Mike, this is Michael Murphy. And it says that he's employed by the Emeryville Artist Co-op.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Are you talking about the president? Is he the president of the Artist Co-op?
He just says employed by them. He doesn't list his
job.
Let me see. He says that he is.
He's an artist, painter, has lived in Emeryville for about 53 years, is in the 65 years.
He's a painter.
He's a painter?
Yes. And he lives at the Art Co-op. You'd like his work. Good painter.
All right.
Yes, it does say he's the chairman of the Artist Emeryville Co-op and a variety of committees.
And in that case, let's fill that position.
Yeah, I think Michael's.
Finally,
it
seems to
be
having very diverse eclectic interests.
I've never heard of it before, but I didn't know he belonged to any art organization.
Would anyone who has applied for the Public Art Committee
the new folks
and address the committee?
Hello, my name is Jennifer Borchin. I've been a resident in Emeryville for about 3 years now. I'm a mother to a beautiful 13-year-old girl. I'm really, really passionate about the arts, not just because it's a medium that I use to express myself around health equity. So a little bit of background, I'm a filmmaker, and I create curriculum for a lot of our healthcare institutions. So filmmaker, educator. And I also have another medium, which is a collage ensemblage series, which lives in a lot of Kaiser facilities and has national impact. And so the reason that art means a lot to me is because it's the intersection of communication. I think it's really important to be able to talk about housing as a social determinant of health and being able to represent what that looks like visually and something that represents all people. So art to me is my predominant language, and it has served me and my family in a way that I didn't think I was qualified to do, quite honestly. I didn't think the seats that I fill in the rooms that I stand in, I don't have the formal background training, but I have the lived experience, and it has really launched me in a way that is just unimaginable. And so filling this position, it feels like it would be an honor. And the first position, really, I sit on the board at Alameda Health Alliance, and I'm ready to step down and to come over into Emeryville and to provide some guidance and thought leadership around what the arts can do for us as a community and signal to the world who we are and what we stand for and what we represent. So it would be an honor to bring my intuitive genius into the room. And to provide thought partnership.
Tell them about your activity with Rotten City Cultural District.
Yeah, so I am one of the When I came to Emeryville, okay. When I came to Emeryville, I remember going to some workshop about a grant, and grants are really overwhelming. So I'm also a neurodivergent person. So I speak on behalf of a lot of artists. And through that process, I recognized that, you know, my medium isn't permanent installation. I'm a filmmaker. And I met Trent in cultural arts, Rotten City Cultural District folks. And I'm like, well, what about us as filmmakers? What are we going to do? And I asked them to create the film festival, and it manifested. And so I'm one of the curators for the Emeryville Film Festival, one of the thought leaders behind it. I'm actually shaping out the trajectory of it without sitting on the board. This is just something that I really enjoy doing. I'm really happy to see you. I know a little bit about your story in motherhood, and that means a lot to me too, because I advocate for mothers, fathers, and families as a whole. So using the arts to launch resources is really, really important. For an example, I was reading an article about Saha Housing. They just opened up an affordable housing complex that has the Native American Health Center at the bottom of the complex. And so I'm thinking about models like that and how we can incorporate maybe some of that in the city of Emeryville, and using art as a way to create psychological safety, to have conversations, and to appeal to all people that live here. So I'm from Oakland. I'm a Bay native, and Emeryville has been really nice. And I'm all things health equity. I'm all things about all people, all colors, all genders. I have a social responsibility to speak for the majority. So I would love the opportunity to serve.
Yes, you're welcome. Any other applicants? I invite you to speak.
Hi, my name is Stephanie Somersill. I've been in Emeryville off and on. I think I moved here first in 2004. I moved away a little after grad school, and then during the pandemic, but I've been here over 15 years altogether. I'm not an artist. I'm a mathematician and a data scientist, and so kind of the opposite, but the arts have been hugely important to me. And so a lot of my volunteer work and my kind of side work has been in performing arts. My first love was ballet, and so I work and volunteer with SF Ballet and symphony and jazz and things like that. And I have been attending the Emeryville annual arts exhibition and the film festival last year. Well done. And it's just been such an important part of feeding my soul, and that I just recognize how important it is to the community. And one of the reasons, like I said, I've moved away, but I've come back, and part of it is because we're such a geographically small community, but with such strong roots in the arts and so many artists here. And I hadn't applied before because I thought it was just for artists, but now I understand you want people who aren't artists on the committee as well, so that the artists can still be eligible for all the things that we're wanting to do. So I just really wanted to be a part of helping this great arts community thrive and doing whatever I can to, because it's been so important to me, to give back to other residents of Emeryville and see that they are able to enjoy arts in the public spaces in the way that, you know, that has meant a lot to me. Pretty much it.
Thank you. Any other applicants?
Good afternoon. My name is Denise Leda-Serva, and I have lived in Emeryville for 14 months, and really am enjoying being here. I moved from Mexico, where I lived for 4 years. After I graduated, I retired. I retired from a position at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, where I was a programming and development director for Cal Poly Arts, which is a presenting department at the university. I produced several festivals, a guitar festival, dance festival. What else did we do? We did film festivals, as well as ongoing presentations and performances, both in the Performing Arts Center around the city of San Luis Obispo. I also served on the Library Foundation Board. I was the president for 2 years, a secretary. I was also, I believe I was the treasurer. So I'm familiar with how to work with city administrations in nonprofit management. I was a working artist for the first 22 years of my professional life. I was a jeweler. I worked in small metal as opposed to big metal, but I found that I was able to be more productive as an administrator in a larger organization. I worked with a budget of over $1 million at the university. I worked at a couple of other theaters in Southern California, in Los Angeles area, in Canoga Park and in Santa Monica. I worked at the Broome Theater. I was the facilities manager and then the assistant director of the theater. And as the other applicants have said, it's a pleasure to be able to give back to a community that you live in. And even though I've only lived here for a bit more than a year, it would be my pleasure to help Emeryville develop its public art. I'm not really aware of what's going on in public art. I tried to sort of do some research, and it looks like there is a lot of civic support for public art, which I think is encouraging. So, if not this year, I hope to stay here many years. So, thank you very much.
Cool. Any other applicants?
You're not applying for the art?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me go first.
Should I go first?
You go first.
Hello, everybody. My name is Michael Haggerty. I'm reapplying for the public art committee. I did my first term. Now I'm coming back for my second term. I've been working here with Vicky and the rest of the committee for that time. Professionally, I am executive creative director of a small, started as just four of us, and I've now grown it to 170 different creatives within this team. Been a resident here for about a decade. My wife and I live over on Green on the Doyle Street Greenway. During this time of, you know, how long I've been like on the committee, it's been a real pleasure to really get to contribute and give back to the community and to be deeply engaged in the creative process of working with everyone on this committee and facilitating the discussions that kind of take place to really spend the money that we get, which is, you know, we need to be quite responsible with the budgets that we have and allocating it correctly and finding the projects that are going to give the most benefit to the community. And so I think like my professional background of, you know, running a creative agency and understanding how to work with artists and how to work with clients and so forth has really kind of helped facilitate the discussions that I think that we have in our things.
That you were the juror for the grant.
I was juror for the grant. And any subcommittee that I can like, you know, possibly get on, I try to get on so that I can help kind of contribute there as well. And then outside of the professional stuff, I'm also a working artist. So I do furniture work. I've contributed to, the artist exhibition, you know, in Emeryville multiple times now. So with that, I would love to be able to contribute again for another term. And yeah, appreciate your time.
Thank you,
Nancy.
Joe?
Hi, my name is Vicky Jo Sewell. I've lived here 40 years. I'm on the board of Women's Environmental Directory. So I'm on an art organization board that helps take a place on the art membership of the committee. And I'm on the board of directors for ECAP. And I'm on the ECAP board of ECOG board of directors for the Community Gardens. I've been on the art committee board for 8 years, and I was on the housing committee for 5. The art committee, I feel I was instrumental when I served on the community grant committee, and we only had a budget of $78,000 to make a grant awards with, and most of the grants were art, to be honest. So I went back to the mayor then was John Batter, and I asked him if we could raise the amount of money. And he said, no. And then I said, well, what if we could split the art from the, take it away from the community grants and just fund the art separately? And that's how we got the art grants. And fortunately, we have a lot of money in the public. The PAC has a lot of money, and we can do the public art grants. I'm hoping that I'm going to vote that we spend more next 2 years on the art grants and increase them to 8 art grants to get $20,000 each. And I think the best thing about being on it is that I can support Emeryville's community of artists. I'm for them. You can't know what it means to an artist to get a grant or even when they get a $2,000 residency in the Rotten Cultural District, I'm on that board too, the Rotten Cultural District Committee, it means so much. You should hear how cheerful they are and how happy they are, what it means to them, and it makes them carry on and become artists. And that's what I like best. I like serving my community that way. I like to make sure artists get money. That's what I really like. So that's why I want to be on the committee.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, did you have any questions for any of the applicants before I call for public comment?
No, but I really appreciate the, I'm going to steal that line from Teresa. Art is the intersection of communication. Very beautiful.
Well, now it's time for public comment on this item. If any member of the public would like to make a comment on this item, you can do so now.
Well, Teresa's also does a lot of work with the Rotten Cultural District and is also advising about Celebration of the Arts.
Thank you for that tip. Any other public comment? No. All right, public comment is now closed. I'll now bring it back to you and I, Madam Mayor, for a discussion. I just wanted to note, we are very lucky here. We always get such a wonderful pool of applicants. Sometimes it's just nobody, but then when it's somebody, it's a lot of really good somebodies. So thank you for making this challenging. This is very wonderful for us to have so many dedicated and accomplished and just very wise and experienced community members that really want to be a part of serving our community. It is very important. We do take our advisory boards very seriously, and they really do give us such wonderful feedback and information for the council to make decisions and help with the stewardship of the city. So we appreciate everyone that applies and to serve alongside us. Madam Mayor, did you have any specific comments? I know we went ahead and place Michael Murphy in the large art rep position. Did you have comments on the other three?
On the other three, I definitely would like to see the incumbents come back, but I see the commitment of, I got all of you are so qualified, beautiful people that, and so artsy, that's just so glad. Seconding Madam Chair's comments about how lucky we are to have you to do this work. Yeah, that's, I think, going to be a little bit of a difficult choice. So all of you are amazing. I think I definitely would like to see some of you on this committee. Only there are only three more that we can select.
Yes.
Okay. So in that case, I would like to see someone new. I know, Michael, you're here. Thank you so much for the commitment and your work. You are here, it shows your commitment. So I would like to see Michael and Vicky Joe back on the committee. And then I this time would like to see Teresa, because she's already doing a lot of work with artists and
I'm really impressed by her comments and the way she has, you know, brought her initiative to this committee. And Stephanie, I think you're great too. I love the fact that you don't have an artistic background or don't do art, but you appreciate it. And that itself is huge because you are cognizant and you expect that the other artists may need to apply. So you, as a non-artist person, you've come and shown your commitment. It's really, really appreciated. I hope you will continue to serve on other committees, if not this one, or continue to apply back. But for me, those are the three choices.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you both for applying. Please do apply again. We always do have openings. There's always people switching around. I second Madam Mayor's sentiment about Stephanie. You're not an art person, but you are a member of the community that enjoys art. And having someone with a data background that's more technical, I think, is very helpful as well. Denise, you're got an amazing art background as well as far as administration that I think please do apply again. I think it's really amazing. And come to the meetings. We've got the Celebration of the Arts coming up. They will welcome you in and tell you everything. Vicky Jo will tell you everything you need to know about the art history.
I put her tomorrow. And she said she was leaving
town. I appreciate you applying and that you're already involved. You are already invested in Celebration of the Arts and the cultural district, which I think is very helpful already having that information and being able to jump right in. So I agree with Madam Mayor. And so I would be happy to make the motion to reappoint Michael Haggerty, appoint Michael Murphy, reappoint Vicky Jo Sewell, and appoint Teresa Fortune in the appropriate positions on the PAC.
I'll second the motion.
All those in favor say aye. Aye. Motion passes. Thank you, everyone. Congratulations.
Thank you for being here
in the middle of the day.
Thank you. Just wanted to remind you that the recommendations will be forwarded to council for final approval on June 16th. We'll also keep all of the applications on file for those of you that weren't appointed for a year as vacancies come up. We'll contact you and find out if you are still interested in being on the committee.
Thank you so much, committee members.
As this was the first time with us doing this way, if you have any recommendations for how the process could run more smoothly or improvements, I'd be very, very open to hearing them. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. That was 5.1, 5.2. I think that's you, Sharon, fiscal year 25-26 and fiscal year 26-27 proposed budget amendments. Please don't break anything, Pedro. You've got a budget deficit.
I'll get it. I'm going to love my comfortable chair. Little space.
Good afternoon, Chair Welch. I'm here for, I have this short presentation. To highlight some of the changes. They're also articulated in the staff report. We have two attachments. We updated the other funds to include the successor agency, which aligns with the adopted ROPS, and a hard copy is on your dais, per se, on your table. But everything else remains the same. So way of background and purpose, as you're aware, council adopted the biennial budget for fiscal year 25 through the fiscal year 27 on June 3rd, 2025. What we are doing right now is looking at amendments based on significant changes in revenue, unanticipated costs, and or costs for things that are already in the 26-27 budget that we know need to be revised. In particular, for 25-26, we'll be closing the books here in about a month. And so we do want to adjust the appropriations in the areas that we know will be over budget, and to require council authorization to increase the appropriation. 26-27, we just have some fairly minor adjustments proposed at this time, being mindful of where we are with the budget deficits, but also being mindful of critical positions, particularly in public safety, that we're recommending be filled. And then any other amendments for the 26-27 budget we'll bring forward as part of our process, likely at the end of December 2026 or early January 2027. So for our general fund for the current fiscal year, we're fortunate that our sales tax measure based on our fourth quarter for 2025 is trending upwards. What we're proposing to do is increase the revenue budget by $367,000 for our sales tax. This will accomplish the purpose of offsetting our increased expenditures of $368,000. We also have a handful of revenues in the police department that are increasing, and those also will offset some of the police expenditures. For example, we are proposing additional funding for officers for our post-training. That's reimbursable, so we've increased the revenue. Otherwise, we will let the other revenues remain where they are, and as we close the book, I have a better sense of our revenue. We do have, again, a detailed list of the increases across the various departments. I can also pull it up on the screen. Again, most are fairly minor. The larger increases include the finance department. It's about $199,000 increase. The good news is that most of this increase is in our professional service for the business license audit. We have increased revenue. The contract is based on a percentage, so the more revenue that we actually collected through the audit, we now need to increase our expenditures with the consultant. And then we did not budget for the work for polling for the revenue measure feasibility study, and so we're asking for the amendment to cover that expense as well. The police department also has proposed expenditures of about $140,000. These are across various programs, increasing the wellness program, increasing the costs for evidence testing. As I mentioned, our post-training, which I believe is police officer standards training, but the expert here in-house, we did need additional funding for our vehicle maintenance, and council recently approved the contract with the City of Berkeley for animal control services, and that is a little bit more than we had budgeted. Other funds, really the significant changes across our other funds citywide, with the implementation of the state of the universal TK program, which provides for low-cost childcare, we're seeing that parents aren't wanting to pay the fees to attend the child care center here in Emeryville. That's obviously a good thing that the state is making headway in implementing that program. However, it's a problem in terms of our projected revenue. What we are proposing to do is increase the transfer of the Measure F, which is our local sales tax, to the child care center to help offset those fees, and that transfer is proposed to be $200,000 for fiscal year 25-26. Again, similar to our Bradley Burns sales tax, our Measure F sales tax is also trending upward, and so we're increasing the budget for the sales tax measure for $148,000, so that will also partially
help offset the transfer of our existing Measure F funds to the Child Care Center. And again, across all the other funds, the decrease is about 3.3 million less than budgeted. That's mostly timing for capital projects. So those funds will just carry over. They're all approved budgeted projects. Just the funds won't be spent by June 30th. So those will be carried over into the next year. For 26-27 for the general fund, again, continuing that upward trend, just as we're doing in 25-26, we do expect sales tax to continue to grow in 26-27. So we're revising our initial projection upwards by $507,000. This will then largely offset some increased expenditures of just a little bit under $800,000. The two largest parts of the expenditures for 26-27, again, are public safety. We have the increase in our fire service contract. That is more than we had budgeted when we put together our two-year budget last June. And that additional increase is $475,000. And again, continuing the trend for 25-26, we have increased expenditures for the police department in 26-27 of about $207,000. Again, we have a significant number of vacant positions. We anticipate those being filled in 26 and 27. And so there's increased costs, new uniforms for new hires, new testing for new hires, again, continuing the increased funding for the wellness program, increasing the funding for evidence testing, increasing the funding for post-training. Our canine unit, our dogs have provided useful service, and we now need to purchase and train two new dogs as part of the canine program. And as previously indicated, the control service contract with Berkeley is increasing as well. The other funds for 26-27, again, continuing the trends, we're expecting the market fees for the Child Care Center to continue to decrease, but maybe not as much as 26 and 27. We're expecting our Measure F local sales tax revenue to continue the trend upward. We are recommending, mostly in part because our Measure F sales tax revenue is trending upward to support two new positions in the police department. This is consistent with the permissible uses of Measure F, which is for additional public safety support positions. We're recommending funding for a police evidence technician. I know Mark Captain can speak in more detail, but right now some of those duties are being done by sworn officers. So recruiting and having that work done by a civilian will free up our sworn officers to be back in the field. It also has a lot of other operational improvements related to the time for processing cases and so forth. And then the second recommendation is for a supervisor position in dispatch. That's again span of control. There's, I believe, 12 dispatchers. Having a supervisor is important for span of control. It also has the opportunity to be a promotional track for some of our staff members. The other significant change, about $600,000, is for Brownfield project and the EPA fund. That's truly just about a delay in the project. And again, as Matt has mentioned earlier, now that we have an approved ROPS from the Department of Finance, we're adjusting our 26 and 27 successor agency budget to match that as well. Again, we presented these items to the BAC on the Budget Advisory Committee on May 11th. They were supportive of amendments. Since then, we did make one change. We added the police evidence technician, but the BAC to support the supervising dispatcher on the technician was added later as we looked at the numbers again and talked to the police department about the criticality of that position. And then again, the successor agency was a timing issue. And so we are here to answer any questions, and I would like the committee to recommend that council approve these amendments when it comes to council on June 2nd budget. June 2nd, a meeting.
Is that gonna? That would be an action item moving forward. Is that
an action item
for
budget?
Okay. Madam Mayor, did you have any clarifying questions for our call for public comments?
I do. I just want to know about. Can we go back to slide 6?
Of course.
So that evidence technician was not previously in the budget, but you've added it. And is there a reason we can't wait till the next budget cycle?
We would recommend that we ask for the funding for the 26-27 budget, which would start on July 1st of 2026. Again, we don't believe it would be prudent to wait a whole another fiscal year because that work is being done by the sworn officers. And if we were able to fund this position, the sworn officer can then be deployed back into patrol and other services. And again, given the vacancies that we're facing in the police department, we think it's very critical to fund this. But I'm going to ask the captain to articulate and explain more the operational necessity for this.
The police evidence technician is currently held by one employee who's a non-sworn civilian designation. That person is also our crime analyst for the department, either of which I assure you are full-time positions, but she is managing to do both. Evidence processing is a very highly specialized and specific skill set that is heavily relied upon by the courts for prosecutions, chain of custody, especially the handling of evidence. You see this in pop culture day-to-day through TV shows and movies that are always analyzing how police handled evidence. You know, just as an earlier thing, it's in the consciousness of law enforcement and chiefly death processes in the justice system. So having said that, we intake a lot of evidence items on a yearly basis. We try to purge them consistent with law and policy at the conclusion of criminal investigations, the conclusion of prosecutions. But I'd be happy to give anybody a tour of our facility. It's a small facility, it's a small space for holding evidence, and it is nearly overflowing. So the criticality comes on those few different fronts. The current employee is well-seasoned in her career and approaching retirement age. Not saying that she intends to retire, but we have to look sort of down the road a bit for that particular position. That answers your question.
And I would just also like to reiterate that this funding sources are Measure F local sales tax. It is specifically, and it's codified in a municipal code to support the child care center and to support public safety, police, and fire. It cannot be used for other general fund uses. And again, our Measure F sales tax is trending positively, and we believe that the fund can support these positions.
Okay, that was my concern. Mm-hmm. Measure F is supporting both the that was my next question, was child care expense as well. So mm-hmm. I think that's good that we have the dedicated Measure F funds, and that it's not going to really impact the overall budget in the operating budgets.
For the general fund, that is correct.
Yeah.
Council member.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
That was it. Okay. I don't have any questions. Now it's time for public comments. Any member of the public, which we do not have in the room with us, and we did not receive any comment cards. So public comment is now closed. All of this seems pretty straightforward. I don't have any questions. Any other deliberation, or do we have a motion?
Sure. I can make the motion to wanted us to view. By the recommendation to approve the proposed amendments for 5.2, yes, I approve. I move to approve the proposed amendments for full year or financial year of 2025-26 and financial year 26 and 27.
I will second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you very much. Moving to item 5.3, fiscal year 26-27. Is it GAN appropriations?
No.
Okay.
It is.
Yeah, I was curious about what it meant.
Yes.
Is it the general fund something to do with general acronym?
Everything here. Wanted to know or not wanted to know about. So what is the GAN limit? The GAN limit was approved by the California voters in 1979 as Proposition 4. The intent was to keep state and local government spending capped at 1978-1979 levels. This was then codified into the California Constitution that places a limit on how much government can spend each fiscal year. And we are allowed to adjust our spending by an inflationary index that's prescribed in state law and by the Department of Finance. And this methodology does is allows the government to use the per capita cost of living that changes every year that's calculated by the Department of Finance. And then the jurisdiction gets to choose if they want to use a change in the population of the city or the population growth of the county. You pick whichever one is larger. Our growth was 0.42%. County actually had a decrease in its population of 0.11%. And so then we take those two variables. There's a prescribed methodology that converts the percentage into a factor. So you can see there the population of for 0.42% becomes 100.42. The per capita income, again, is calculated using no ratio, and those two combined equal a factor of almost 1.53. What that means is then we take our appropriation limit from last year, which was 170 million, we multiply it by that growth factor, and our appropriation limit is $180 million. I know, which pretty much means in a nutshell that the city of Emeryville for fiscal year 26-27 cannot spend more than $180 million.
We'll try not to.
Yeah.
Of taxes, not of all our expenditures, of our taxes. And so what we do on that line there where we come up with the just under $54 million, we look at our budget and we say, how much are we budgeting for taxes? Business license, sales tax, transient occupancy tax, Measure F, because that's also a sales tax. And we calculate all of that together and it equals $54 million, which, as you can see as well, below the appropriation limit. And just for context, that is about 30% of our GAN limit, and historically we've been in the 30% range. And again, this is required by the Constitution. The purpose is that governments do not spend more than their taxes would allow. And again, we're in a good shape at 30%. There are some jurisdictions, including some that I think are nearby, that have exceeded their GAN and had to go back to the voters to ask for approval to exceed their limit.
Oh,
it's also very important. Our bond rating agencies look at where we're at as a percentage of our GAN limit. It's an indicator of fiscal health. It's a good indicator for Emeryville. And so we are just recommending that the Budget Advisory Committee looked at this as well. They recommended using our proposed methodology, which was using the city population. We're asking that this committee also concur with our methodology, and the council will
adopt the resolution as a consent item on early June 16th. It will be put in our budget book. It's something our auditors look at as well and calculate at the end of the fiscal year to make sure that we also do not spend more than we have.
So that is the
Cool. Yeah, please.
Thank you. Yes, really. The amendment was named after Paul.
Yeah, it was named after Paul, and it was just Chapter 1 Generals Advocacy. Yeah, I don't mind. I'm like, no, it's good. Yeah, so, 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 so
Thais' name. Thank you for clarifying her name. Appreciate it. I think we both have the same source of information. So.
I didn't have any additional questions. We don't have any members of the public here with us. We didn't get any comment cards. The farm is now closed. I'd be happy to make a motion to agree with methodology and send it over to the council.
I second that.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Motion passes. That's the end of the action items. We don't have any information items. Item 7 is future agenda items. We do have 5 of them. I know we're bringing back amending the regular meeting schedule. Well, that's kind of always in what we kind of do the quarterly, like figuring it out when the polling on when we're both available. So that's kind of just indefinitely there. Any updates on the city policies pertaining to substandard multifamily housing and code enforcement?
I think we'll is working on that, and we'll be able to bring that back at your next meeting in October.
User fee study, I imagine the same.
Correct. For October, if we need to call a special meeting to move that forward, we will. But
okay. Pet license, I imagine, is going to come back at some point. And then the community grant submittee composition.
That'll come back in October.
Awesome. Okay. Any member announcements or comments?
Thank you.
No? None for me. And okay, it is 4:34 p.m. And this meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Where's the farmers market?